The Sunday Sit-Down on Algoa FM.
Ava Max, the song called Million Dollar Baby. And in today's Fuss From It, JP, how you doing?
I'm well, Shal. How are you?
The man on the other side of the microphone for today is, or for a little while today, is JP Butter, who you would have heard up until 24 and a half hours ago.
Yep, that's right. And the sort of baby of the group as well. I am the youngest in programming.
I actually don't think of it like that. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
So are you one of those woke millennials we have to be very sensitive and gentle around?
Not quite. No. You can really go for it. I had a very sort of tough upbringing. I had to be really tough. So I can take it.
Is it from the streets? Yeah,
essentially, straight from the hood, you know.
Okay. So, we got talking. You said to me you saw what I was quickly inhaling while the back-to-back music was playing was my chicken rice casserole that I made on Friday evening, which is one of my fave things to make. Onto the confession that you are a sweetaholic.
Oh, gosh, Charles. I mean, the way to my heart is through my stomach, and it's with sweetness. Absolutely. Oh, I've had such a sweet tooth. I can't leave sugar alone, even though I shouldn't, right, as discussed off air. Yeah. I love sugary things. I've just got a sweet tooth. That's just who I am. Mm. But a great passion for cooking as well. I love being in the kitchen.
Okay.
I spend a lot of money on food.
Right.
It's probably my biggest spend, believe it or not. Like, food is crazy expensive.
It really has.
And it's just gone up over the last year or so, I'd say, especially in light, of course, of what's happening in Europe and whatever. But it's really, it's noticeable how the food prices are going up. But yes, I do love cooking, love being in the kitchen, trying different things, and pasta.
Okay.
Carbohydrates. Yeah.
I was about to say, do you have a signature dish or is it
definitely pasta.
Some variation on pasta?
Pasta and perhaps just my way of making 2-minute noodles. Love this stuff.
That's technically a culinary low point. If you do eat 2-minute noodles, please just make sure that they don't have hydrogenated palm fat in them. That's the one ingredient to look out for.
Right. Is that the bad stuff?
It's a trans fat.
That explains a lot, right?
And it's one of the only bad forms of dietary cholesterol.
I see.
Yes.
And so, you're quite knowledgeable about this kind of stuff.
Yes, but it's funny you should talk about the 2-minute noodle things. It's one of the things that I love to also dress up.
Yes, because you can make it really cool.
You
put some veggies in there, put a protein in there. I do cheese in noodles as well.
But not the cheese flavor, because I haven't found one of the cheese-flavored ones that is cheesy.
Yeah, no, they actually just smell like feet. And that's literally
what
it is.
I wasn't going to say it, but you see now. It's exactly that. Let's probably start at the beginning. Where are you from?
Right, so I am here from PE. I grew up in PE mostly. And I say mostly because I was thrown around quite a bit. So I went to Greenwood Primary School up until grade 3 here in Gqeberha. And what a great place. Absolutely loved my time at Greenwood.
I knew a couple of people who worked there, and they also, as a teacher and an administrator, both raved about what kind of school it was.
Yeah, it was a great place. And I must have been quite naughty because Elaine Thompson,
<Can't imagine.
laughs> who had eventually become the principal, I bumped into her couple of years ago at a restaurant. She looked me dead in the eye. She said, JP, I remember you. And we always remember the naughty ones. That means that I must have been naughty, because as a teacher, it's a kind of unspoken thing. You remember the naughty ones a lot more, I think, than you remember the sort of sweet ones. I was at Greenwood, and then we moved. My grandmother had, so I grew up with my gran.
Okay.
And she had gotten divorced from her husband, her second husband. They had a taxi business together called Francis Taxis.
Right.
And they were quite popular down here in GQ, then PE. So I was always, riding along with the drivers, and the cars would, of course, have the radio.
Must be interesting.
Playing, and it was always Algoa FM, and that's where my love for this brand started, really.
Oh, wow.
Was in the cars and listening to the radio. So then they got divorced, and I made my way up to live with my aunt and my uncle up in Secunda in Mpumalanga. Oh, not the best time of my life. I didn't like the place.
Okay.
There's a petroleum factory in that city as well. So at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you just get the smell, all across this little town from the factory. It was not a great place.
And I suppose not being windy, it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, that's right. But I spent a year up there with my aunt and my uncle. They owned a bar. Which
How
was
old
pretty
were you?
Interesting. So this would have been, But that was the funny thing, is that I was 9 or 10 years old, but we used to work, myself and my cousins, we used to work in the bar. I used to sing in the bar as well. I used to be able to sing, believe it or not.
Okay.
Actually, this brings me back to Greenwood because I was in the play. I was in this play called the Oscar Awards at Greenwood.
Mm-hmm.
And I played Jack and the Beanstalk. And I remember singing this beautiful song while walking up this incredible flight of stairs. And I've always been afraid of heights. And they taped that. And I've been looking for that tape for years.
Well, now's your chance to ask if anybody has it.
Yeah, if anybody has a copy of that tape. I think the play was called the Oscar Awards or something like that. Could have been 2001, 2002. Like, get in touch, please. Like, I really, really would love to see that. But yeah, so I used to be able to do that. I used to be able to sing, and we'd sing in the bar and cool. And so I was there for a year, and then we came to, back down to PE. I came back to my gran. And then I went to an Afrikaans school called Excelsior up there in Mount Croy. Also, great, great school. Really enjoyed my time there. Grade 8, spent a little bit of time at Andrew Robbie, and boom, sent off again back to my aunt and uncle. And so I went up to, they were living at the time in Gauteng, and I was at a school called Hoërskool Stoffberg, which was really interesting, to say the least.
Sure.
Then back to PE. Charlotte was up and down. I've been in so many schools.
I was about to ask, how many?
Yeah, like literally, I was always the new kid, and that wasn't really nice. Eventually, I settled from grade 10 when I came back again to PE after having lived with another family member. You know, it was always different homes, different people, a couch here or there. It was quite crazy.
Sure.
But yeah, I settled back in PE grade 10, went to Hoërskool Celia, and I live with my granddad in those, if you've ever been to Bay West on the freeway, you go past Sidwell, you see those big brown buildings. That's where we lived. So it essentially was the hood.
Okay.
You know, yeah. So that was the street life, I tell you. But Celia also was great. That was the point for me where my academics really took off.
Okay.
You hear a lot about, I mean, many schools, but I heard so much about the school and I was very intimidated to go there, but it was the best 3 years of my life. Honestly, academics took off. I was able to just be a different kind of person, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that was lovely.
No. My question is, you've kind of detailed a fairly disrupted and less than pleasant schooling experience overall.
Yeah. It wasn't
Why
the best.
On earth, then, are you a teacher?
That's a very funny question, actually. So teaching was not my first choice. I have to be honest about that. I love what I do, Charles. I absolutely adore what I do. And I don't see myself really doing anything else. But I actually wanted to be a cosmetic surgeon. Right, I was convinced that I would be a plastic surgeon and I was going to be a great one. But maths and science, I couldn't do. Right? I just could not maths and I could not science.
Yeah.
But I could language. Okay. I could language. And so, of course, when the important decisions had to be made, I decided to study language. And then I did a teaching degree after that, which was pretty cool. And I absolutely love what I do. I'm at Alexander Road High School. And I teach English and Afrikaans there across all grades. And it's a great place and it's a great profession. You know, I think that definitely teaching as a whole is probably a bit less respected than it was 50 years ago.
Which is a crying shame because I don't know if you're aware, and it only struck me. I was like driving to work today and I thought to myself, you're a colleague of mine. So I obviously probably shouldn't and don't need to Google you. So we'll just chat.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, but it's the second week in a row I have a teacher in the chair. I had Yvonne Delaray-Smith
Yes, yeah, I was listening to
that. And what I said to her is, what I'm saying to you is, you've explained the steps of how you got there, and it seems to have been less of a calling for you that's turned into a calling.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it was a calling from the start, but it kind of needs to be, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody can just say, well, I'm going to study teaching and I'm going to be a teacher for convenience, because you're going to learn some very hard lessons very quickly. But it did turn into something that I became incredibly passionate about.
What is the reaction to your learners, because that's the term we use now, to the fact that their teacher presents the top 30 on Algoa FM?
Yeah, it's so we're quite a big school, right? There's 1,300 kids, and it's just impossible to know everyone. But those that know, they know.
Okay.
And so I'll be stopped like on a weekly basis. Someone will stop me in the passion. So, sir, I saw your face on a lamp pole. You know, that's so cool. Tell me about what you do. So for them, you know, I think also because I see a lot of my kids every day, it's kind of like, well, you know, We're used to it now. But for those who like kind of just find out, they think it's the coolest thing in the world, you know. So yeah, it's always interesting. And like I said, it happens every week where a new person stops me and says, "Hey, I saw your face there on that pole." And I was like, "Yeah, well, I've made it in life. I've made it. If my face is on a lamp pole, then, you know."
Good news. Derek Cunard, I hope I've pronounced that correctly, says, "JP, contact Mrs. Barnardo at Greenwood. She may well still have a tape of the Oscar Awards."
I have contacted her. Yes, I have. And she has not been able to find one yet. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's very sad.
So now, of course, you have two fairly divergent passions, both radio, and you started off reminding us that you are the baby of the presenters.
Yeah, that's right.
You also hold one of the most important specialist shows on the station. That must be somewhere between cool and terrifying.
It is. I think more terrifying than it is cool. And it's a really big deal. You know, if you had said to me 10 years ago that you were going to take over the Algo FM Top 30 from Wayne Hart and do that, I would have said, "You're absolutely crazy." I would have said, "You're absolutely nuts." I mean, radio was always something I wanted to do. But at one stage, I really thought that it was never going to happen for me, you know. And so, like, here I am, and I still have to pinch myself sometimes. Even having been here for almost 3 years, it's still very unreal. It's that moment where you realize that for these 3 hours, I am the product of, you know, I'm the face, essentially, of this commercial brand. It's enormous. It's huge. Yeah. You know, people don't always think about it that way.
And, as somebody who has a fair amount of experience doing the chart, it remains an intimidating prospect.
Oh,
because
I tell you.
All the songs have to be played.
Yes.
They have to be played in
so
order.
You've got to be on time.
And the thing needs to run on time. It's like,
yeah.
Because when I was doing it, it was literally a case of hold on tight, because from now until midday,
it just goes. It doesn't stop. You've got time for nothing but what you have to do.
Yeah.
But you make it happen. You know, you just got to do what you got to do.
Hmm. That brings me to a question like, what is your taste in music?
A little bit of everything, Charles, actually, okay. Yeah. So I can very comfortably listen to some heavy metal and then move over and skip the track and go to like something classical, you know, and listen to the violin or someone singing opera. It's really diverse. It's crazy, the sort of range of music that I listen to. And I think my neighbors probably sometimes think, what is wrong with this oak, you know?
Do you treat them from time to time to your taste in music?
I do. I make sure it's loud, and I think some of my neighbors like my music, whether they like it or not, if you know what I mean. You know, it's loud. Yeah. I've got to do it.
I'm trying to think of one of the quotes about that. About someone, the neighbor coming and saying what time it is, and you're like thankful for the time check more than anything else. So what comes next?
So next, I actually don't know. So I'm going to go back to university next year. I want to study again. I'm something of a professional student, I think.
Right.
I never stopped studying. So when I left school, I started studying, and I've just, well, this year I haven't studied, but every year since I left school, I'd done something, you know, I'd done some kind of degree. I always felt like education was important, and just getting to a point where I feel like I'm educated enough is important to me. It's a personal goal. So I'd very much like to get a master's degree,
nice.
Potentially to lecture as well. That I think that would be the end goal in terms of education, but that's on the cut. So next is hopefully to get that master's done, yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. As is always the case, we run out of time probably before we run out of the option to chat. So is there anything that we kind of haven't really covered that you think is important that people should know about you?
Sure. That's actually a really difficult question. That's such a difficult question. I think it's just important that people realize about me, gosh, that I think I'm pretty humble. Right. I think there's this perception that people get sometimes that, you know, they see the home, they see the car, and they go, "Oh, you know, this guy must come from money or something like that." Like, I've worked hard, you know, to be where I am, and I'm very proud of where I am. And I spent...
Not a trust fund baby.
Yeah, not a chance. Yeah, no, like that. I think that's, but that's literally been something that's annoyed me, because people make that assumption, and I cannot stand it.
Oh, wow.
To be honest with you, yeah.
Okay, interesting. Thank you very much for taking some time out of your Sunday. We'll catch you again on Saturday for the Algoa FM Top 30 powered by CTM.
Because everybody deserves a beautiful home.
City weather.
There we are. We're so familiar with that one.
Well, yes, we read it enough times. Then, of course, this white boy had it translated by Mio for me. It means "we say," he said to me. So
I actually did not. I never, ever even asked the question. So thank you. There we go.
Learn something every day. One more song on the way to news time. Thanks, JP.
Thank you, Sean.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.